On this Gaur Purnima day, I would like to highlight a verse, actually two verses, that have stood the test of time over 540 years time, as verses that describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in essence. These verses are found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 6, texts 254 and 255. They were written originally by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They were very cleverly retained by Mukunda Datta, and then later they were presented in a biography about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Kavi Karnapur. And they made their way into Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka is the book by Kavi Karnapur. Kavi Karnapur also wrote Chaitanya Mangala, which is a very amazing description of Lord Chaitanya's life. I'll read the verse, the two verses. The first one you've probably heard before, but our acharyas have described that this verse summarizes the essence of Lord Chaitanya. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga is how it starts. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam Purushak Puranam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhi Yas Tam Aham Prapadye. Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga. So the translation doesn't go literally in this sequence of as how the verse starts, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who taught Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga, that through the process of devotional service, causelessly, just as as Srimad Bhagavatam teaches, causelessly, knowledge and detachment arise from within the heart for one who engages in devotional service to Krishna. The Bhagavatam verse, Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, we're familiar with what Bhakti Yoga is. Bhakti Yoga, Prayojataha, Janayati Ashu, Vairagyam, Gyanam Cha, Yad Ahaitukam, Ahaitukam. Causelessly, knowledge and detachment arise from within the heart of one who engages in devotional service unto Krishna, Vasudev. Vasudeve. Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, like we were discussing yesterday evening, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary, the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree upon Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought it to life and manifested its full meaning Can we do this? Can we move in because people will come in late? Believe it or not. And if you move in closer, please, then people will have room to come in. Then those that are in the next row behind move up a little bit, and so on. Thank you. Vairagya Vidya. Nija Bhakti Yoga. They're actually inseparable. Nija Bhakti Yoga. It's a quality of it's Bhakti Yoga has its own quality. Nija Bhakti Yoga. That is, it is knowledge and detachment. Or because it connects the soul to Krishna, the natural quality of the soul comes out, which is knowledge and detachment. Shikshartam ekam, so we know what shiksha means. Shiksha means instructions. Shikshartam, the goal of instructions. Shikshartam ekam, purushak paranam, the goal of any valuable instruction is to know Krishna. Vedaish jasayarvair, from Bhagavad Gita. Vedaish jasayarvair, aham eva vedyo. Krishna in the 15th chapter says that the purpose of the Vedas is to know Him. That's Krishna's teaching, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is describing. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching also. Shikshartam ekam. Purushak paranam. The goal of any good instruction is one thing only. To know the personality of Godhead. And through that knowledge of the personality of Godhead, to know Him means to serve Him. And when you serve Him, causelessly knowledge and detachment arise from within the heart. Just yesterday, someone was describing, through the course of devotional service, husband and wife, they're finding their frailties. One was anger, the other was impatience when the other becomes angry. That's subsiding just for the course of devotional service. Just from the course of devotional service. Unwanted things subside and wanted things awaken. Like, you know, it's a great advertisement, great recipe for happy life. And everybody wants happy life. If you sit right there, then people can't come down the stairs. So if you come over here, then people can come down the stairs. Thank you. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Sharira, we know what sharira means. The sharira avidya jal. You all know that one. So, or in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna indicates that avajananti mam mudha manushim tanamashritam. Foolish persons think I've assumed this form. So the verse is saying that The Purushak Paranam, the original person, has manifested this form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna is none other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Like Giri Dhari, Sharira Dhari. He's accepted this form. He's manifesting this form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, because that was the name that was given to him upon his sannyasa initiation by Keshava Bharati. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dadi. Kripam Budhi. Kripa means mercy. Ambudhi means ocean. Kripam Budhi is an ocean of mercy. Yas tam aham prapadye. And for all those reasons, I surrender unto him. So the translation begins, I surrender unto him. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is none other than Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who taught the same message as the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches, that is, there is one purpose behind all good instruction, and that is to engage in devotional service to the Personality of Godhead, the original person, the oldest person, Purushak Purana, and by so doing, causelessly, all desirable knowledge and detachment awaken. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. And the next verse, not quoted as often, but very, very nice verse, is, let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself, meaning to Krishna. This system has almost been lost due to the influence of time. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These words were written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who played a very important role, particularly after he became a great devotee. But his becoming a great devotee also showed the superlative quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the description goes way back to the time of Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagannath Mishra was a most respected Vaishnav Brahmin in all of Navadvip. His learning, however, was not equal to the learning of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not a Vaishnav. He was a Smarta Brahmin and vastly, vastly, vastly learned. There's a detail of how he had mastered all the darshans of philosophical teachings except one, and that was Nyaya. And that special Nyaya teaching was available in another holy place, and they didn't want to share it with anybody. So they could have, like, you know, an exclusive. No franchises were allowed. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went there as a student, and because he went as a student, they accepted him, and they taught him Nyaya, but they wouldn't give him the book. But he memorized the book. And so when he went back, he wrote the book and then began teaching Nyaya along with the other darshans. And he became known during his time as the most learned Brahmin in all of India. So learned, so famous was his erudition that Maharaj Prataparudra requested him to become his chief priest in his kingdom. So it was by divine arrangement that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left Navadvip before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. meaning by age, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is quite elderly in comparison to Nimai Pandit. And Nimai Pandit's scholarship was super excellent in grammar and logic. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became the initiated devotee or disciple of Ishwarapuri, he abandoned his scholarship altogether, considered it useless, worse than useless, a distraction for the real purpose of life. And because of his taking shelter in Shuddha Bhakti, because of his taking, we're trying to keep a pathway. Trying to keep a pathway so people can, who come fashionably late, can still have a place to sit. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became the chief priest and made his residence in Puri. And from that position, he had thousands and thousands of disciples because he was so vastly learned. According to Gaura Gunadesh Deepika, he was none other than Brihaspati, who had taken birth to take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, vastly capable in his scholarship, but not a devotee. Learned in the Vedas, left, right, sideways, up and down, vastly learned, but not a devotee. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his initiation, later he took sannyas and had his intention to go to Vrindavan, but by the trick of Nityananda Prabhu, instead he was sent to the house of, or in the direction of the house, to Shantipur, in the direction of the house of Advaita Acharya. And then Mother Sachi was brought to see her son, now with his head shaved and wearing sannyas dress and having renounced all worldly connection. Mother Sachi was crying and crying and crying and pleaded with her son, please don't go to Vrindavan. You want to go where Krishna is, but Krishna is also in Jagannath Puri, as Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath. The same Krishna, go to Puri, because there I will get news of you from time to time, because many Vaishnavas from Bengal, they go to Puri for Rath Yatra. Then I can get news of your well-being, and maybe you'll come from time to time to take bath in Ganga, and I can see you. So on the consent, or upon the request of his mother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri. And there's a whole drama that I will not go into detail of because we don't have 3 hours. But I'll summarize some of the high points. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone entered into the Jagannath temple, first time seeing Lord Jagannath, the anticipation of seeing Lord Jagannath was so intense as he was approaching all the way from Bengal. When he entered the temple and saw Lord Jagannath, he ran like the wind with his arms outstretched, because he didn't just see Lord Jagannath, he saw Krishna. And he wanted to go and embrace Krishna because his heart was filled with ecstatic love of Godhead. And as he ran like the wind, he became so absorbed in anticipation of meeting Krishna, embracing Krishna, he fell to the ground unconscious. He never made it. And the guards had no idea, who is this person who just fell on the ground here and running across the temple room floor. Who knows what a madman he is? Get him out quickly. They brought their sticks and they were going to forcibly send him out. Just at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya entered the temple room and saw this golden-formed, very, very tall. It is described, Mahaprabhu was 7 feet tall for a Bengali. That's like... with golden, like molten gold complexion. And beautiful, because he's the personality of Godhead, beautiful features lying sprawled on the ground in the temple room floor. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, leave him alone. He's a sannyasi. Make an arrangement that he can be carried to my personal home. I'll look after him. So he brought Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home. Meanwhile, Lord Nityananda and the rest of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the temple room of Jagannath. They inquired, have you seen one sannyasi? Very young, just 24, 25 years of age. Beautiful golden features. Did you see him? Oh yes, he's at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So they went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home and saw Mahaprabhu unconscious in his home. So they gathered around him and began kirtan. And it was loud kirtan for some time. Their purpose was to withdraw Mahaprabhu's consciousness from its withdrawn state and bring it to external consciousness. So when Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness, there was discussion. Who is this sannyasi? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to know. What is his name? What family does he come from? What line of sannyas is he initiated in? And Gopinath, Acharya, who was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife was his sister. explained, he's the son of Jagannath Mishra, and his maternal grandfather's Nilambar Chakravarti. Oh, Nilambar Chakravarti! We were very close friends. That gives an idea of how old Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was. I know the family very well. Yes, Jagannath Mishra married Sachi. Yes, yes, I know the family. So he was relating on a bodily platform to the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he heard that his sannyas guru was Keshava Bharati, he offered, oh, I am capable of giving him sannyas initiation again in a higher order of sannyas. The Saraswati, the Bharati Sampradaya is, it's okay, but give him a better one if he so desires. Gopinathachari was very upset with his brother. So the personality of Godhead is in your own home and you don't even recognize it. You're such a dry logician. He said, you're like a dry oil cake. I don't know what a dry oil cake is. It doesn't sound very complimentary. Whatever it is. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, what are you talking about? Please be careful. You're a learned person, and this is, you're saying some sannyasi is God? On what authority do you say that? You can't make such statements without scriptural authority. So Gopinathacharya, directly, it's written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gave the scriptural authority after authority after authority. He said, but what is the use of all of this authority? Without the mercy of the personality of God, and you won't understand even one of the words in all of these verses. May he give his mercy upon you one day that you may realize his identity. Only then, well, your dry logic dry up and blow away, and then you can understand who he really is. May that day come in your life. And he left. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was considering, such a young man, 25, so beautiful, so many women will be attracted to him. It'll be very difficult for him to maintain his sannyas. But I'll protect him. I'll teach him Vedanta Sutra. And then he'll be strong sannyasi. So he offered that to Mahaprabhu, if you like, I will teach you. He said, oh, I'll be so fortunate. If you teach me Vedanta Sutra, I will sit at your feet. He said, no, you're a sannyasi. I'll sit at your feet, but I'll instruct you. So for 7 days, sounds like Bhagavatam, 7 days, all day long, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya instructed Vedanta Sutra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said nothing. He just sat. Didn't fall asleep. He just sat and listened. On the 8th morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was disturbed and said, you don't say anything. I don't know if you're understanding or not understanding. Then Mahaprabhu spoke and said, I understand Vedanta Sutra very well, but I must say, the more you speak, the more you cover the meaning of Vedanta Sutra. A great scholar, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was very surprised to hear. I know that you're a great scholar, but how can you say that? My words are covering the meaning of Vedanta Sutra. If you know the meaning of Vedanta Sutra, then you explain. On your order, if you wish me to do so, only then I'll speak, because I'm in the presence of such a great scholar as yourself. But if you order me, I'll speak. Yes, you speak. So as Mahaprabhu was explaining Vedanta Sutra, and it's presented in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there didn't have a recording device like this, but somehow the dialogue was retained and presented in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And upon hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation, he was astonished. It's brilliant. It's so lucid and clear, and I never heard such a wonderful explanation of Vedanta Sutra. Then he took the opportunity to present another verse, the Atmarama Sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone know that verse? Atmaramas Chamunayo Nirgrantha Api Arukrame. It's the verse where in the 7th chapter of the 1st canto, where Sukadev Goswami, it's described that he became filled with ecstatic love of God just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from his father Vyas. And Shaunaka, amongst the sages, asked Suta Goswami, how is this? Sukadev Goswami is already liberated. He doesn't have to go study something. But he studied. He studied Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only studied Srimad Bhagavatam, but he became ecstatic hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you explain? And then the Satmaram verse is the answer. That even Atma Rama, those souls that are fully satisfied within, and great sages of the highest order, Atma Ramas Cha Munayo, Nir Granti Api Arukrame, Arukrama, those verses that are describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They bring great satisfaction to the heart, even of those perfected and liberated souls, what to speak of ordinary persons. It's all around attractive and good for everyone. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, could you explain that verse? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're a great scholar. I would like to hear you explain that verse, if you would be so kind. and merciful upon me. Oh yes, I can explain. And he gave 9 different explanations of the verse. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then said, would you like to offer some explanation also? He said, upon your order, I can offer one explanation that's not at all touching upon the 9 explanations you already gave. And he gave explanations, which later on, Sanatana Goswami heard that Mahaprabhu had explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the Atmarama verse, and he said, can you tell me again? There's no recording of it. Can you tell me? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 61 different explanations of the Atmarama verse and said, actually, there's unlimited. But these are principal ones. There's a whole chapter explaining the Atmarama verse, Lord Chaitanya teaching Sanatana Goswami. As Lord Chaitanya was explaining to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the Atmarama verse, his covering of speculative knowledge lifted the cloud of his, not only the mistaken conceptions, but the pride within his heart was all removed just by hearing. Because he wasn't just, he wasn't an ordinary person. He was a superlative person. And through that acumen of his scholarship, hearing transcendental knowledge from the transcendental source of Mahaprabhu directly, he realized, you're not an ordinary person. You're not just a sannyasi that's super scholarly. You're the personality of Godhead. He had the realization. And I accept you as that. Mahaprabhu smiled and decided he would show special favor to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So right there before him, he manifested his four-armed form of Vishnu, and then withdrew that form and manifested his two-armed form of Krishna. Very much like what Krishna did with Arjuna in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, from the universal form to the four-armed form to this two-armed form. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began weeping, and he fell to the ground, prostrating himself and paying obeisances, and lost external consciousness. He swooned in ecstasy to realize who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he came to external consciousness, Mahaprabhu embraced him tightly and blessed him. May your heart become filled with love of Godhead. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was weeping and crying, streams of tears coming down his eyes. He said, you are so merciful. It is inconceivable that you have come to deliver the whole world from its suffering condition. That I don't find at all to be amazing. But that you have found it you penetrated my steel-like heart. He compared himself to an iron bar. But with your compassion, you have melted me. And I am so fortunate to receive your mercy. Mahaprabhu was very happy. And he said, I am now going to go take darshan of Lord Jagannath, and we will see one another again. The next morning, listen to the detail. The detail is important. Next morning, very, very early, as Jagannath was waking, meaning even before Mangal Arati, he went to the temple and he was given the garlands of Jagannath and prasad of Lord Jagannath. At once, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was still asleep in his bed. And Mahaprabhu interrupted his sleep. Said, I've come to bring you the prasad of Lord Jagannath. as Mahaprabhu spoke, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya awoke, and he could distinctly hear him say, "Krishna, Krishna," at once, as soon as he awoke. And while still sitting in his bed, Mahaprabhu came and presented the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. And something a good smarta Brahman would never do, he at once ate the prasad. Because there's rules, there's smarta rules. Before you eat, you have to wash your mouth, you have to bathe your body, you have to perform your puja before you can eat. But he didn't do any of those things. He immediately took the prasad of Lord Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you're a very learned scholar. Why have you done this? You're breaking all of your smarta regulations." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being a very learned scholar, raised his finger in the air and said, "It is enjoined in the scripture that when prasad of the Supreme Lord is provided, even it may be stale and old and come from a distant place, at once one should accept the prasad of the Supreme Lord. And by so doing, one will be released from all the contaminations of all one's past sinful activities and all fruitive intention. This is declared in the scripture." Our commentary says, Lord Chaitanya wanted to test him. He had given his mercy the previous day. He wanted to see what's the condition tomorrow. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He said, "You have full faith in the personality of Godhead and the mercy of the personality of Godhead. Lord Jagannath has become very kind upon you. Because Gopinath Acharya, your brother-in-law, is related to you and he's given his mercy to you, Lord Jagannath has been very kind. All of your contamination is now gone, certified." And again, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to weep, realizing how fortunate he was. The next day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went early to the temple of Jagannath and made arrangement for a large quantity of Jagannath prasad from the pujaris. And he took the prasad of Lord Jagannath along with these two verses that he wrote. And he gave the prasad and gave the two verses that he wrote to Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Fortunately, Mukunda Datta was present, and he had the sense to take those two leaves, the verses that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had written, and wrote them on the outside of Gambira, the residence of, on the wall, so anyone could see. Then he gave them back to his servant. As soon as Mahaprabhu read the verses, he ripped them to shreds, but they were preserved by Mukunda Datta's sharpness of wit. And all the devotees were reading on the outside of the wall these wonderful verses of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. There's many lessons in that pastime. One of them, a very important one, is one can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by getting the mercy of one who is dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this case, it was Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya had also, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, had known Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Bengal before he came to Puri. But Gopinath Acharya was a devotee. And how did he become a devotee? By association of devotees. He became a devotee. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't have that same good fortune because his heart had become so hardened by speculative propensities. His whole, fame was his capacity to speculate. He was good at speculating. But that made his heart very hard. So even in the association of the object of his studies, he couldn't understand. But by the mercy of Gopinathacharya, his well-wishing upon Sarvabhaumabhattacharya brought the mercy of Lord Chaitanya into his life. And another very important teaching or message from this lila is that, same as Lord Chaitanya's teaching, that by the process of mental speculation, the absolute truth can never be, never be understood. Same teaching is there in Sri Brahma Samhita, where Lord Brahma teaches, as Mahaprabhu accepted this teaching as well. If one can try to approach the absolute, the realm of Krishna, by the speed of air or the speed of the mind, and travel for millions and millions and millions of years, you will not be able to enter into the realm of Goloka Vrindavan. Because it's another dimension. It's not possible for the mind to accomplish that. But very simply, by receiving descending mercy, then it's achievable. But not by one's own power of speculation. So as capable as Sarvabhaumabhattacharya was, it was not possible for him to understand the Vedas or the conclusions of the Vedas properly, nor being in the personal presence of the Supreme Personality of God, he was not able to understand. But again, by the mercy of the devotees of the Lord, he had such clarity that these wonderful verses have remained enduring to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful position. And he showed Sarvabhaumabhattacharya in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it describes differently. The detail that's different is, it said that Sarvabhaumabhattacharya was shown the Sadbhuj form of the Lord. So those of you that may have visited Sarvabhaumabhattacharya's home, on the wall opposite the altar, there's a Sadbhuj form. Sadbhuj is six-armed form. So Krishna holding his flute with two hands, Ram holding his bow and arrow, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding his danda and kamandalu. So that Sadbhuj form, according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, was shown to Sarvabhaumabhattacharya. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes he showed his four-armed form, then his two-armed form, and then again his form as a young sannyasi standing before Sarvabhaumabhattacharya. But in any case, or in either case, he's showing that his identity is none other than Krishna himself. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripambudhi Yas Tam Aham Prapadye. Understanding who he is, we're celebrating his appearance day today. Shri Gaur Purnima Ki
Jai.
Any discussion? Yes, Nilesh?
Guru Maharaj, yesterday you covered Lord Chaitanya's encounter with Prakashman and Saraswati, and today Sarvabhaumabhattacharya. Is there a reason, like, because they are both like hardcore impersonalists?
That's not the reason. Not the reason at all. I was inspired to speak about this verse of Sarvabhaumabhattacharya. That's all.
And I have one more question.
Okay.
In our course of preaching, if we come across like real impersonalists, we should just try to engage them in some service?
It depends on the person. Some hardcore personalists, impersonalists, one may want to keep a distance because they can be offensive. Suresh?
Maharaj, what was the reason that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not recognize the personality of God?
His heart was hard. Okay. You've seen that before, right? Yes.
Maharaj, can you tell a little bit more about Shatrubhu's form of the Lord? I didn't know about that form. Shatrubhu's form is just now mentioned.
Because it's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, I mentioned it. It's one of the Lord's forms. The identity of Krishna and Ram and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is one entity, one supreme being. Ram, Lord Ramachandra, is Krishna. Krishna is Lord Ramachandra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. That's the significance. Sadbhuj. Very beautiful form. Anything else? Yes?
Well, I wanted to... you were talking about true devotion service to God, and then thinking about myself, where I'm at, that seems very high or far out there. So I was trying to understand what would be the proper motivation for somebody like myself, for myself, to chant. Is this asking for purification? Is that a proper motivation?
Sure. Why not? And purification towards what? What's the goal? What does that what does that purified state look like? So one needs to identify the goal. Supposing one doesn't know what is the goal, but they have an idea of purification. That's something I want. It's not as that the focus is not the same, it's fuzzy. In the world, there are different fuzzy notions of what that means. So that's the best that one is going to get, is fuzzy. Unless there's clarity. So the distance is quite okay. If you know what the goal is, then striving for that, there'll be far more, not only clarity, but also inspiration. It doesn't mean, oh, it's too far away, I'm discouraged. It means, this is something really worth. It's so clear, although I'm way over here. That's something that I want to dedicate myself to. Like, just in a different context, if there's some idea of love of God, well, who is God? So clarity of definition, the more one hears the glories of the personality, the qualities, the loving exchanges, the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, the more there is that clarity, the more there is the inspiration. To love another person without knowing the other person, it's not the same. It's sentiment, but it's not the same. But when the other person is truly known, and their qualities are what Krishna's qualities are, very lovable. And same, the means to achieve that is pure devotion. Well, what's that? What's it like? What does purity mean? What is the standard of pure devotion? Gives clarity, gives inspiration. Something really wonderful to aspire for. And the means to achieve it It's very simple. You don't have to be vastly anything. Vastly wealthy, or vastly learned, or high birth, or do gymnastics, or, you know, there isn't. Just, you know, be sincere. And even a child can do. It's very simple. The application, it may not be so simple because our hearts are crooked. But the process is simple. And it should be simple for the difficult age as the age of Kali. Very simple. Anyone can do. But when we do that which is very simple, we should have a clear idea of where is it to take us? Where is it intended? What's at the end of the rainbow before we start chasing the rainbow? Yeah.
To me it seems like it's much more easier for me to relate to devotional service to Srila Prabhupada and his devotees rather than...
Okay. But how is Srila Prabhupada separate from Krishna? And the devotees of Srila Prabhupada separate from Krishna? They're not. They can relate to that which is more proximate, but that merit is because of their relationship with Krishna, who may be more distant, at least conceptually, but not more distant, because you contact a pure devotee and Krishna is there, being delivered by that pure devotee. You're at once getting Krishna and the pure devotee association. Very nice, huh? No mental adjustment necessary. Yes.
Maharaj, I didn't understand when Mahaprabhu tore the leaves and, you know, the instructions were already on the wall.
Yeah. He didn't want himself to be glorified. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was glorifying him. No, 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 don't glorify me.
Thank you, I didn't understand what
but the devotees wanted to glorify him, so they put it on the wall for everybody to see. No, in ours it would be like put it on a billboard and put everyone to see. But it's just put it on a wall. That's, you know, it had billboards. They had billboards. Put it on a, you know, website.
Thank you.
When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya received the prasadam from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had those verses available to him before.
Yes, but he didn't see. And why he didn't see? Because his heart was hard. This question was already asked.
Yeah, I was just wanted to ask you if you can clarify the difference between following the rules and regulations as a smarta brahmana and also the regulations as a Vairi Bhakta.
One needs to know the purpose behind them. When you're following Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, according to the teachings of Rupa Goswami, we're enjoined. We should know the purpose behind it, not just follow like a donkey. We should know the purpose behind. And specifically, the purpose behind the vidhis of Sadhana Bhakti is purification for the purpose of bringing us closer to our awakened state of consciousness of Krishna, or to always remember Krishna. That's the purpose behind, to always remember Krishna, to bring us to the state where we can always remember Krishna. Manmana. That's the purpose. Not just mechanically do. Like, you know, for example, one of our vidhis is observe Ekadasi. The smartas observe Ekadasi too. And what's their purpose? Not, you know, to awaken their love for Krishna. It's to make themselves more eligible to study Vedanta Sutra and be a good scholar and understand Brahman. Control the senses. Like we're fasting on Gaur Purnima. Maybe some children are doing, but many of the adults are fasting. So what's the purpose? And we should observe the fast, understanding what the purpose of it is. And that's distinct from smarta regulations. Anything else? Yes.
What I got from this pastime is the power of hearing from a bona fide source.
Yes.
However hard your heart is,
or yes,
however puffed up you are, if you
yes
hear from a bona fide source.
He was maha puffed up. And maha scholarly, and he couldn't understand. But by hearing from the right source, he applied his scholarship. It wasn't a zero. He was applying his scholarship. And when he heard with his scholarship capacity the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't just go, yes, you're right. He realized he's the personality of Godhead. That's the level that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was on. We're not at that level. But so we need to hear, you know, maybe a few extra times. But hearing from the right source is certainly a key part of realization, gaining realization from the process of devotional service. Okay? Yeah?
In the answer of previous question, you mentioned something very inspiring, and I just wanted to see if I understood correctly. You said basically the process is very simple, it doesn't require any qualification. As long as we have pure and simple heart, it doesn't require a lot of rituals and show off and those things.
That's right. I said the word is sincerity.
Sincerity.
Yeah. That's what we require to bring to the table. To bring to the process of devotional services sincerity. So then that raises the question, well, what's sincerity and how do I get it? Sincerity, that's a whole discussion, but sincerity is, put very simply, something that's genuine, not as opposed to something that's a show. It's not to impress someone else, that's a show. But it's the real thing. And for them, the heart of hearts, I mean whatever that sincerity of intent is. I want to be in my relationship with Krishna. And that means, you know, part of what that means is I'm ready to pay the price, whatever that price is. And it may mean letting go of something that I'm attached to. I'm ready to do that because it's their sincerity of heart. It may be a gradual letting go, but I'm ready to let go because it's their sincerity in the heart. The intention is there's fidelity between what is resonating in the heart and what one says. And I may be at this very beginning stage. That's quite okay. Sincerity will grow that intent to a mature stage. We have to want the real thing sincerely. Krishna will then nurture or amplify that sincerity, that intent. Yes?
Maharaj, I just want to understand, as you said, like mercy is flowing even with the representative of the Lord. So I just want to understand more on why Dasa no Dasa no Dasa, why not directly Krishna? Because a little link to his own spiritual master, it will open up so much, it's very difficult to comprehend. What is that? Why is that Krishna doing like that? How is that to understand?
Well, it's easy to understand. When you think about the spiritual world, what's the spiritual world? Is the spiritual world, when you enter into the gate of Vaikuntha, is it going to be all vacant except you and Krishna, or you and Narayan? Or is it going to be unlimited numbers of living entities at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, serving Him in a loving mood? That's easy to answer. And so Krishna's system to get us there conforms with what there is. It's a network of loving relationships. It's just how the Lord is with His devotees. And so we practice here. What's that love for Krishna without Krishna's devotees? The love of the Lord without the Lord's devotees. So it's part of Krishna's system. We approach the Lord through His devotees. Very natural, very simple, and very sublime. And who would want it some other way anyways? It's Vaishnava. To serve the devotee is to serve the Lord. What if I just said, you know, Balaram, I really like you. Your kids, you know, I can't stand being around them. I like you. So can you get your kids out of the way and, you know, we can just spend some time together? Excuse me, Maharaj, but I love my kids. They're nice. You just have to get to know them. Accepting you means accepting your family. Or the other way around, accepting your family. If one who becomes dear to your children becomes dear to you. Natural. Isn't it? Natural. That's Krishna's system. Dasa, dasa, anudasa. So my heart, on the other side, our heart, becomes simple and humble and pure. How exalted was Raghunath Das Goswami in his renunciation and in his bhakti. Yet he would not even... He underwent great ordeal to get the association of Lord Chaitanya, and he never spoke with him directly. He never spoke with him directly. He always spoke through Sur Damodar. And Lord Chaitanya spoke to Raghunath through Sur Damodar. That was his humility. Wasn't his lack of qualification thinking, oh, why do I have to go through Srupa Damodar? Not at all. He had the fullness of... The question was related to mercy. He had the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Not part. Full. And Rupa Goswami... Full mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But he wouldn't even... He felt himself unqualified to sit in the same area as the other devotees. His humility was so humiliating. Disarming.
So the whole thing lies on the humility.
Yeah, it's the conception of who humility is, who we think We are in relation to the personality of Godhead. Diminutive. I mean, smaller than nanotechnology. Very, very tiny. Tiny, tiny. But Krishna is so merciful. That's nice feeling. And so to maintain that mood consistently with practical conduct is dasa dasana das. That Krishna accepts me to be the servant of his servant of his servant of his servant. How fortunate. We could expand on it, but that's sufficient. Anything else? Yes. Hare Krishna.
I get more attracted to Krishna when I got to know about Balram and Krishna Balram and Radharani.
Okay.
So, if you say love for Krishna, could you say something regarding Radharani, please?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where this is Gaura Purnima, he is Krishna himself, but he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Because, we discussed this yesterday, but Krishna became bewildered by the intensity and the quality of the love that Radha has for him. He wanted to experience that love that Radha has for him. And he's the personality of God, and he was trying. And couldn't do it. And then he did it. By taking the mood of Srimati Radharani. And another thing is, was thinking to discuss this at the temple this evening, a standard verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Radha and Krishna are one entity in two forms. We are accustomed to think of two, Radha and Krishna. But according to Swarup Damodar, two forms, one entity. And they have eternally manifested themselves in that way. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rasmat Eka Atmanavu. So Eka Atma. One entity. But eternally manifested in two forms. The energetic and the energy. But one entity. Just like the sun and the sunshine. One entity. But the sunshine is not exactly the sun, and the sun is not exactly the sunshine. The sunshine is in the room, but the sun planet is not in the room, or we'd be all be in flames. But the sunshine is in the room. The sun is present in the room through the sunshine. So the energy and energetic are one, but eternally manifest as two. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is both entities manifest in one. Krishna, in the mood, the bhav, as well as the luster or complexion of Radha. For he was golden in complexion. And of the mood of Radha. But Krishna. Not an expansion of Krishna, but Krishna. So, not a good idea to think of Radha and Krishna as distinct. They're one entity. But then, at the same time, Krishna's enjoying his Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency, with so many different pastimes. So there's nothing, if one understands Radha and Krishna properly, There's nothing impious or sinful, as some people that don't understand Radha and Krishna think. For a man to enjoy another woman outside of marriage is sinful. Krishna and Radha are one entity. Radha is Krishna's energy. And Radha and Krishna is the energetic source of Radha. There's no duality. And their pastimes are there. And the gopis are expansions of Radha. Scripture describes these things, or states them explicitly. And there's pastimes. Krishna's enjoying his pastimes with his own internal energy. So naturally, hearing about Radha and Krishna and Krishna and Balaram, it enhances the appreciation of Krishna, naturally. The picture then becomes more complete. Because in fact, Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always with his devotees. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Swami Ki Jai.